Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural transformation. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Why are certain people happier than others? What makes someone want to be a happier person, thrive at work, have greater relationships, be healthier and even wealthier than others? And how is sex related to one's level of happiness? How do we search for joy through intimacy? Our guest today has spent the last 15 years learning tools to help people reach their highest happiness. Our guest is Rodrigo Baena, a Brazilian author, speaker, and a certified executive coach specializing in happiness. He is the founder of the Portland Happiness Center, a place for courses, coaching, and community for a happier life. His latest book is Sex, Happiness, and Other Stories. People talk about finding joy in their relationships. And his upcoming book is Happiness is Money, the new economy of happier, healthier, and wealthier people. Hello, Rodrigo, and welcome to the Pathways program.
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much.
So, what does a happiness coach do exactly?
A happiness coach is mainly a life coach specialized in happiness. It's a very new model or a new label. And for me, basically, someone creates a label to who I am. So the main conversations when people start to ask, what does a happiness coach do? I help people to thrive in life. And at the end of the day, I do believe that everyone searches just for happiness to have a If you want a better relationship, it's to be happier. If you want a better work, it's to be happier at work, and so on. So happiness, my goal is to find the core, the emotions and feelings that people look for, even though they, sometimes they don't know that, or they don't call it happiness.
And how would you best define happiness?
That's very personal in a way. Some people define happiness in a very different ways. Being from Brazil, and I lived in England and Italy and in India for a while, now in the US, after studying and living in different places, I realized and discovered that happiness has to do with relationships. The levels of relationship, the quality of relationship that you have, for sure will dictate how happy you are. So some people, I know we talk about how much money can bring happiness or doesn't, or material things, but that case, I do believe that relationships is the core. So that's the main
okay
thing.
So the quality of the relationships, and I want to get back to that, but one question: you mentioned the countries you've lived in, and you're from Brazil and you're known as a Brazilian happiness coach. Do you think Brazilians have an advantage when it comes to happiness?
that's a good thing to talk. I mean, the main thing when I created the name Brazilian Happiness Coach was almost like a joke to create this conversation. So people would come to me and say, what's the difference? You know? And there is no difference between being happy in Brazil and being happy here. Now, the difference is that I am Brazilian, so I bring my background and heritage to work. Now, are Brazilians happier? I would say so, just because we still have the connection, which is very Latin, but the connection with family and friends. So what I think, for example, here culturally in the US, people go to study in different colleges and they move far away from the family. We don't have this in Brazil. And there is it's not good or bad, it's just different. So because of that, we have a better or deeper connection with our friends and family.
Mm-hmm. And how did you become a happiness coach?
I don't think I became a happiness coach. I think I was born like that, and someone created a label for happiness coach. So maybe you should ask, who created this label for me? The thing is, when I was living back in England, I was a photographer there, and I was being interested in trying to understand my blocks and fears and people's blocks and fears. So often friends would contact me and say, hey, I heard about you. Can I pay you a dinner or just to chat? Can you help me to figure out some things? And I always been there, so basically I was being a life coach without knowing. Of course, I never charged or anything like that. But when I was in India traveling, someone mentioned to me, do you know what you do? There is a name for that, which is life coach. And I was like, what? It was almost like if someone come to you, Paul, and say, Paul, someone create a label for you, man. You're like, I am a man. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I felt that was the signal. So once I started to study, and just by coincidence or not, I don't believe in coincidence, but at the monastery that I was living in India, there was a library, a small library, And there was a book about life coach, one book. So read 20 pages, and it was enough for me like to figure out, oh, that's a real thing. So once I moved to the US, I started to study and got certified as a professional coach. And then everything started to make sense. But I've been kind of struggling to figure out what was my role in this world. And that's for sure is not a thing that I became. And that's the best gift that I could get, I could receive, to realize that there is a label to who I am, actually. I don't need to become something else.
Right, right. So it was like a self-discovery thing.
Exactly, yeah.
So now I think it's fair to ask somebody who's known as a happiness coach, are you happy?
That's the question that the people ask the most. Yes, I am happy. Although I must say, being constantly happy, it's a fake thing. So some people believe that you're supposed to be happy all the time and be smiling all the time. For sure, my levels of happiness are higher than a lot of people. So if someone crashed my car right now, I don't get upset. I don't get mad. So I learned through life and courses and life experience that there are way more things, there are way more important things in life than small things. So I am happy for sure, yeah.
And
but I must say something else. Some days I wake up feeling, today I just want to stay home, which is totally normal.
So why are your happiness levels higher? Do you have better relationships? Or is it just because, like you said, you don't sweat the small stuff? Is it because of things you've learned? How do you account for that?
I think it's a combination of many factors. First of all, my background, to be in touch with my family, and every year go to Brazil to spend Christmas there and just have this connection, you know, and be there. My family is quite big. It's about 60 people. It's a big Italian-Brazilian family. And to have that connection, even friends that know you for 30 years or more, it's so amazing. And having that, plus to study, I must say something, it's not, to be happy is not an easy thing. Of course, it's easier to sit in your couch and be happy, just watch TV. But what I realized that in order to be happy, in order to thrive, you need to work in yourself. And I've been working myself a lot, and I love that. It can be hard sometimes, but the reward is amazing. So it's a combination of my connections, learning, DNA for sure, my choice. So I choose every day to be happy. And not every day. Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, and it sounds like you've been on this path of personal development very consciously and deliberately, and that has helped too.
A lot. When I was 14 years old, I got connected with a philosophy, it's a life philosophy from, I would say from Buddhism and Taoism, which was in Brazil, and I learned a lot back then how to start to improve yourself and learn about yourself in order to be happy. So I was 14 years old.
Wow, that's good. So now on your website, which we're going to talk about in a while, it says happier people are more productive, they have more meaningful relationships, and are healthier and wealthier. Is that based on any kind of study?
Oh yeah, it's based in tons of study. There is this thing called positive psychology, which basically is this science is studying the positive side of life. Up to now, up to 30 years ago, we just studied the downside of mind, depression and stress. So about 20 years or 30 years ago, we started to study the positive side of mind. And there are so many research and studies just sharing this information. Happier people, yes, they are healthier so often. They are wealthier. They are healthy. You know, there is a bunch of connection that comes with you once you're happier.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So really what you are doing with this Portland Happiness Center is it's an outpost for what we're learning in the area of positive psychology.
It is. And the Happiness Center is a big umbrella of three main things, I must say. One is towards the community, so we do projects and social service, and sometimes just go out and help people. We have the second line, which is towards individuals, where we offer coaching for individuals, couples. And the third level is for businesses, which then is a bigger scale. So now, more than ever, employers are realizing that if the employees are happier, they actually produce more. They make more money. So you ended up making way more money if money is the goal. But the main thing is they are more productive and they are healthier, so they're less sick days, for example. So that's the third line. We work a lot giving talks and workshops.
Mm-hmm. And so You mentioned money. What is the correlation between money and happiness? You know, in America, we seem to believe that if you're rich, that's the way to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a beautiful documentary on Netflix called Happy, just Happy. And if you could watch that, or the listeners, if you guys could watch that video, it's amazing because show this guy from India, and he lives in the slums of Mumbai. And the interviewer asked the guy, "Are you happy?" And his life is pretty much take people in that little cars, you know, he just carry people, and he makes enough money to buy the food and to pay his mobiles and his lamps. So he goes back, and every day his family is there waiting for him, and he said, "Yes, I am happy. I don't want anything else." And the interviewer couldn't believe. He asked, actually, would you like a bigger house? And he's like, "No." So money, he doesn't have anything. The richest guy in New York might be unhappier than him, but he has the main things that fulfill his life, which is his family, his community that live around him, and he has enough money for his basic needs, which for him is important. Now, money doesn't bring them happiness. It's just a thing that sometimes people think that the search for money, by having the money, you're going to be happier. And that's not true. You can be content, you can be happy for a minute, but it doesn't sustain, doesn't stay for long.
Right. And what is the happiness situation in Portland?
The happiness situation in Portland, you'd be surprised. In 2009, there was this research, this article, that shared this study saying that Portland was one of the unhappiest cities in the nation. And when I tell people that, people don't believe. Why Portland? I can't believe. And they based the information, the research, in the foreclosures, depression rates, divorce rates, depression in teenagers especially. And it was like that. It's still, up to this day, it's not that better, but it's still, we have a lot to do, let's put it like that. So the depression rate is still huge, and among teenagers is still big. So we have ways to get even better. Now, when it comes to Oregon as a state, there is this well-being study that has been done like for years, and when it comes to U.S., they divide it into the states.
Right.
So Oregon is, last year, it was the 27th state, 27th happiest state. So it's more or less in the middle between the 50 states.
Right.
So the situation here can be better. What I like to say is that Portlanders, we in Portland, we are very friendly, but we're not friend yet, which means we don't have a deeper connection. We don't know how to do that. The paradox that we want to be connected, we just don't know how to do that. So it's a good situation. We're just getting there.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things about America that's different than a lot of countries, in that everybody is so mobile, and very few people anymore live near their grandparents. Do you think that has an impact?
It has, for sure. Now, Northwest, specifically Portland, we are a little bit different than the rest of the country, I feel. And it's such a beautiful place to be here and see that as an insider. People here do want to be connected. You see, more than any other place in the nation, maybe, people moving back to be close to their parents or grandparents, you know what I mean? Or the parents moving close to the people here. So it's a great place to be, and Portland for sure is going to the right direction. Now, just in matter of comparison, one of the happiest cities in the U.S. right now is San Luis Obispo in California. But 20 years ago, it wasn't like that. The mayor, the people decided to change the situation. It was a huge, very important situation. They decided to do consciously. So we are going towards exactly the same direction, I feel.
Mm-hmm. And what did they do? How did they improve it?
They improved a lot. Well, we talked about relationship and connection. They improved a lot the community feeling. So they closed a lot, many main roads, and transformed into a pedestrian zone, where for sure a lot of businesses owners, they didn't like it in the beginning, but now there's nothing you can say against that because people love that. It's almost like in Brazil, we have the praça or the plaza, you know, where people used to go and connect in the community to get together close to the church. That feeling we used to have in the U.S. as well, but we lost that. The idea of I can do everything by myself, which might have worked in the past, now it's not working. Now we have to connect better if we want to connect. The community is supposed to be the core of a happier society.
Right. Now, you published a book entitled Sex, Happiness, and Other Stories. It's about finding joy in relationships. Why did you write this book?
This book was a great way for me and Ariel Wilson Gopp is the other co-writer. We, in a conversation a couple of years ago, we were talking about if there was a connection between relationships, sexuality, and happiness. So the conversation went as simple as that. We see people on the street and just guess, like, do you think that that person is happy in their relationship? Do you think they have a healthy sexual life? And we decided to interview people. So during 9 months, we interviewed different kinds of people. So older, younger, married for 30 years, people in an open relationship, straight, gay, from Brazil, from US, from all over the world. And at the end of this project, this research, it was a book. So the main question we wanted to answer is, was there any relationship between sex, happiness, and relationships? And it was amazing to hear different points of view and realize that at the end of the day, when we finished the book, we couldn't answer that properly. It's a great book, it's a beautiful book, but of course there is a relationship, but everyone brings different aspects, so it was a beautiful thing to see that. There is no way to have one clear answer, because everyone has different answers, different truths in a way, you know?
And was so this and was this angle a part of what brought you along into your work right now? I mean, investigating happiness?
The book was published way after. I've been studying happiness for 15 years, and we opened the Portland Happiness Center about 2 years ago. This book was published last year. So I've been, all my private clients, for example, a lot of conversation goes towards relationships. So right. It is something that was in my mind for a while. So I think it's the other way around. Instead of the book kind of helped me to be who I am, it's another way. So who I am and the work that I'm doing brought me to produce this book.
And so did you discover that people who have more sex are living happier lives?
that would make Portland the happiest place in the world. Because, I don't know if you know, but there was this studies, a few studies saying that Portland is one of the most promiscuous cities in the US as well. So we're not the happiest place, although the people have a lot of the sexual activities high here in Portland. It can be happier. I feel that after the book, we discovered that a lot of people, they search for sex just as an outcome. It's not a deep thing. So you can have as many partners and sexual activities as you want, but if you have a meaning, if it's deep in a relationship, a real relationship, and then you can be happier. But if without that, without a why and a connection, become just an action. So it doesn't bring you happiness necessarily, not in the long term.
Right. So the happiness really comes down to that on a feeling level, having that sense of connection.
Yeah. Just to have an idea, Paul, one of the questions we asked people was, if you had more sexual relationship with your partner, or with a partner, that you're not happy with the partner, but the sexual life is awesome, would that make you happier? And they answered whatever they answered. The second question, it was, if you had a not so good sexual life, but you love your partner, would that make you happier? So it was interesting to see people answering different ways. And at the end of the day, people that at the beginning they shared that they love their partner, they would realize, well, sex is an important relationship, but if there is no connection, it wouldn't make you happier.
Right. Well, that's a good point. How does decision-making contribute to unhappiness?
Decision-making might be one of the core things of happiness. As I said, every day I decided to be happy. Every single morning I have a meditation practice where I decided consciously to be happy. Now, in our everyday life, every day we have many, many things we need to decide. And sometimes it won't make you happier, but it's important. Sometimes it will make you happier. And of course, you cannot always choose things that make you happier. So a quick example is, if you are in a relationship and let's say you hate football and your partner loves football and invites you to go to watch. You love your partner so much that you'd go to the event, for example. So at the beginning, the sport itself wouldn't make you happier, but deciding to fulfill, you know, this question, you'd go and make the relationship better and you make your partner happier. So it's about balance for sure, and think consciously what makes me and people around me happier.
Now, do you have some practice that you do every morning to make your day happier?
I do. I try to meditate every day, and some people having this idea that meditation is supposed to be this thing to just sit quiet and be there for 1 hour. And I must say, if you never meditate before, and I share with clients and friends, try to do it just for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just sit for 5 minutes in conscious meditation and breathing, and you're gonna see that slowly these 5 minutes become 10, it might become 15, but it doesn't matter. It's not a competition where you're supposed to tell people how many minutes you can do it.
Right.
You know? So apart from every day I have this meditation, every Wednesday, 5:30, I lead a meditation for a happier life around Alberta. So it's a way for me to give back and teach people a little bit towards meditation.
Right, right. And is that what you generally recommend? What are some things people can do to be happier? Meditation, anything else?
Meditation is one. Keep a relationship with friends and family. I mean, to meet people more often. So often you're going to see people saying, oh, I have to work, sorry, I cannot meet my friend. Or I have to do something, I cannot spend time with my family.
Oh, I have so many friends on Facebook.
Right? We have thousands of friends, but how many people do you actually meet? And in a way, that's why I like the meetup, the company, because it is a media and social thing that pushes you to actually meet people face to face.
Right.
And I love that. You go and meet people and talk. Apart, it's amazing. There is this speech from Dalai Lama that says that we found a way to go to the moon and back, but we cannot cross the street and knock on the door of our neighbors. And it's so true. Technology is supposed to put us closer, but it's pushing us away and away and away, far apart. So I think to keep a tight relationship, let's say at least once a week, I'm going to have a coffee with my friend. At least every other weekend, I'm going to see my family or call, you know. That for me is the core. So meditation, keep tight relationships, for me, they are important.
Right. Now, in the book, you've got certain teachings that I'd like to just read a couple of them to you and ask you to comment on them. This first one, happiness means believing you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important?
Because we create, apart from the let's say the executive way of being a leader, like I'm supposed to lead and control people. Being a leader, it also means being a leader of yourself.
Right.
To have control of your life. Because at the end of the day, Paul, we don't have control of anything but how we think, how we take things, how we accept things. And
right.
That's the thing, to be a leader of yourself, even if you have the lowest, let's say, not lowest job, but lowest in the hierarchy of a company, they have many, many bosses, the manager, directors, you don't have anyone below you. Still, you don't need to be a leader. You don't need to lead people, or you can lead not physically. You can lead psychologically, showing people how to be kind, for example. That's what makes a great leader. So to have to be in power, for example, to have a high job, for example, as a manager, director, it doesn't mean, as we know, of course, that the person is a leader. A leader for me is when someone can cultivate and influence people in a positive way.
Okay.
They can lead in a psychological way instead of just physically and no command things, do it. That's old style, that doesn't work anymore.
Right. So the kind of leadership you're talking about would be expressing who you really are. Which
exactly.
Is,
mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to compensate for who you're not.
Exactly.
Now, on your website, you have a list of companies that are investing in happiness at work and helping to make Portland a happier place to live. What have these companies... done to make the list? How have they invested in happiness?
These companies are the first ones to become members of the Happiness Center. We started this idea last year, about 6 months ago, and these companies are the core people or business owners that they are changing the situation. What they have a little sticker in their wall saying, in their door saying, we help Portland to be a happier place, and check the list so people can go to the website and check what they're doing. More than that, we have a meeting, it's a monthly meeting open to all the business owners, but of course business owners, the members, they don't pay for that, where we bring a speaker and talk about what we can do to keep your employees happy and producing more. They have a connection between them, it's almost like a community they are creating, if it makes sense. But they get, for example, coaching so often, they get exposure to more clients. So the idea is that if you invest in happiness, you actually attract a happier client. So it feeds each other. It's a more positive approach. It's not about even how you treat your employees is not about, as I said, command or army style, where if you don't produce, you're going to be fired. It's fear-based. These new companies, people that have this understanding of this concept, there is no fear-based, it's a love-based. So instead of saying, if you don't produce, you're going to be fired, they go in the opposite way, saying, if you don't produce, fine, but if you do produce, I'm going to reward you. So people do because they love. People, big companies like Apple, they use that. In Portland, a big, nice group of companies, they start doing that more and more often, which I love that mentality. So the companies that you saw on the website, they're the companies that are doing that, believing and supporting the center by doing that.
Now, the book you're writing now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but I thought it had a very intriguing title, Happiness is Money, The New Economy of Happier, Healthier, and Wealthier People. What do you mean happiness is money?
So let me ask a question first. Do you think that money brings happiness?
No, we've discussed that.
Wait, but there is a thing. Everyone's saying no. However, are you saying that if I give you $1,000 right now, you wouldn't be happier?
No, I think I would like that.
And that's the thing. People have this idea of, no, money doesn't bring happiness. It actually does. So people will be happier, but not forever. You wouldn't sustain for long.
Right.
So the idea that money is happiness. Happiness is money. Wait. Wait a second. Time is money. Happiness is money. Is to play the idea that time is money. So the old saying, time is money. I need to use my time in the right way. I'm playing the idea, forget about time. If you're happier, you're going to bring money anyway. I'm not saying that money is going to come automatically if you're happier. It's the other way around. By being happier, you might, probably, according to all the studies, you might be making more money and be healthy and have better relationships. So happiness now is money, and it is wealthy, and it is healthy. People are just discovering that right now, but it is happening right now.
Okay, well, we have just about run out of time, and I want to make sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is portlandhappinesscenter.org. All one word, portlandhappinesscenter.org. And I want to thank you, Rodrigo. I'd love to talk longer, but we've run out of time.
Thank you very much for this interview. It's amazing to connect with you. As I told you, I admire your shows and being part of the cable community for a while, doing, but yeah.
And for our listeners who tuned in late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, a book that shares the theme of pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. In a second, I'll tell you how you can replay this entire interview anytime you want via podcast on the internet or via iTunes. Today, we have been visiting with Rodrigo Baena, author of Sex, Happiness, and Other Stories, and people talk about finding joy in their relationships. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into the Pathways interview program, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO.fm Sunday mornings at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, on iTunes and via the website KBOO.fm. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways and its podcast. Thanks again to Rodrigo Baena and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways experience.